Maybe Jesus is the missing piece in your life. Or maybe you'll learn something today about Jesus that you hadn't thought of before. I hope that that's true in this Lenten series. So what comes to your mind when you hear the phrase, X marks the spot? Maybe a treasure map? Complete with skull and crossbones? Wouldn't be authentic if it didn't have that. Maybe a dotted line showing the path with twists and turns along the way. Usually there's some kind of puzzle that the treasure hunters have to figure out, a clue they need in order to find the treasure. And they're often led off course and end up in the wrong spot and start digging and digging and digging and digging and not finding the treasure at all. Well, today we're going to talk about two treasure maps and see which one takes us to the treasure. X marks the spot. We are in Luke chapter 12 this morning. If you have your Bibles or want to turn on your phone to Luke chapter 12, we are spending the whole season in Lent. In fact, our Ash Wednesday service, which started our season of Lent, was in Luke. And then our Good Friday service is a little bit different this year. We're walking through those final hours of Jesus' life, and Becky Beers and I will be reading from the Gospel of Luke. And so, and then Easter Sunday morning from Luke, and then the 2 weeks after that as well. And on your outlines, you'll see a little reading program this week, a chapter per day from the Gospel of Luke. Here in Luke 12, Jesus is speaking to a crowd of thousands who, according to Scripture, have trampled each other to get where he is. They've heard a great deal about him. They're curious to see if he's all that he is reported to be. And out of nowhere, someone in the crowd says, "Teacher, make my brother share the family inheritance with me." Now, I know Jesus pretty well. I don't think he's going to get drawn into that, right? In those days, which is true in many cultures, the oldest son inherited the farm, literally. And if the younger siblings were lucky, they might be included in some small way. That's what's going on here. This comment gives us insight into the multitudes of people who are crowding around Jesus. Why were they there? It's clear that they were searching for something, and at least some of them were there to see how they could gain from being with Jesus, and in this case, hoping that Jesus would intervene in their family business. Well, of course, Jesus does not get distracted by this intrusion, but he is a master teacher. This is a teachable moment. So in verse 14, Jesus replies, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbiter between you?" And then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." So, he doesn't take the bait, doesn't get involved in this family squabble, but he warns us all about greed. There's so much more to life than having a lot of stuff. And then he tells a story, verse 16. He told them this parable. "The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." And then he said, "Oh, I know what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, self, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry." Here's a modern translation. X marks the spot. I finally made it. I found the treasure. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. He's got a great problem, doesn't he? He has so much grain, he cannot possibly store it. So does he keep it all to himself? Does he share? And certainly, This man did not do all the farming by himself. There are others with whom he can share the wealth. Now, we're not talking about opening a small savings account. We're not talking about him having a shed with some extra bags of seed or a spare plow. But he has a super abundance, so much for that he's going to tear down his current barns and build more, bigger barns. Looks like he has found the treasure of life. But has he? Verse 20. But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you, and then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God." Here's a surprise ending. We call this series the Jesus Enigma because Jesus is such an unexpected person. He does unexpected things and he says unexpected things. And who could have seen this coming? Everybody in the crowd is like, "Man, I would trade places with that guy in a minute." And then the surprise ending tonight. Your life is over. The fragile nature of life, the surprises of life, have a way of showing us what is essential, what is not essential. And I wonder, as Jesus tells the story, is he looking directly at the guy who just demanded that Jesus get his money for him? Super awkward. Be like, I am invisible right now. I didn't ask that question. It was somebody else. He felt entitled, just like the rich farmer who felt entitled to everything yielded by his land. It's as if they are using a treasure map, and Jesus has just revealed to them, you're looking at the wrong spot. You're using the wrong map. One's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. But the story doesn't end there. Jesus continues. He gives us an alternate map. He then goes on to show them the map they should be looking at. And I'm going to be honest, it's an enigma. It's something different than most of us grew up with. Verse 22. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear, for life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, and yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds." I wanted to say that to you all this morning. How much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? And since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? And you follow Jesus' logic? If God cares for birds, how much more will he care for us? If we look to God to provide our needs, if we trust him, we are free from worry and free to focus on other more important things like being part of the work of God's kingdom. True treasure is not gaining more stuff, but being carefree in the care of God. But he's not done. Verse 27. Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. And if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. I'm an artist, and so I love the color of flowers, whether they're cultivated or wild. But they're bloom life is very short. I have some beautiful daylilies, and they're called daylilies because, right? The blossom opens in the morning, and by the afternoon, it's gone. And at nighttime, I pluck them off my vine, my flower. But they're beautiful, but they're short-lived. So Jesus uses another less than to greater than argument. If God clothes these seemingly insignificant plants, which last only for a moment, how much more will God clothe you who are created in God's image and who will live forever? Because we look to God to provide for us, it frees us from a mad scramble to provide for ourselves. We can relax and focus on things that are more important, like people, like being a vital part of what God is doing to fix up this broken world. And if you think about it, Jesus didn't own much himself. He traveled constantly during those 3 years of ministry and could only take what he could carry. He never owned a home. He never owned a donkey. He had to borrow one for his royal entrance into Jerusalem. So Jesus himself embodies a different kind of living, seeking a different kind of treasure. Verse 31. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. And I love this next part. Do not be afraid, little flock. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Do not be afraid, little flock. The Father has chosen to give you the kingdom. When you make God your treasure, you will have enough. But if you make treasure your God, you will never have enough. What did Jesus mean when he said, the Father has chosen to give you the kingdom? I often think if we could grasp how rich we are in Christ, it would change our lives. Here's some thoughts about what it means that the Father has chosen to give you the kingdom. It might include the following. Through faith in Jesus, we are reconciled to God and are adopted into his family as sons and daughters. When this happens, we are filled with the Holy Spirit as a down payment of good things to come. And the Holy Spirit is our helper, our friend, our wise advisor, bringing the life of God to us. We're given insight into what really matters. Our lives can have purpose as we participate with the Holy Spirit. And at the end of our lives, we can look back and see the people that we encouraged, the institutions we invested in, the ways that we used our time, treasure, and talents to join God in what he's already doing. And then after we leave this life in which we made a difference, we will live forever in the presence of God. What did David say at the end of Psalm 16? You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. If we could only grasp how rich we are in Christ. Fear not, little flock. Do not be distracted by the little things or lose heart because of the things you are suffering. Never forget the Father has given you the kingdom. Seek God's kingdom, his rule, his kingship, his power, his dominion, not your own. God knows your needs better than you know them. He will supply all your needs. He delights in fulfilling your needs. Don't be distracted by worry and anxiety. Eugene Peterson in the translation calls the message, says it this way. What I'm trying to get you to do here is to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting so that you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over all these things, but you know both God and how he works. Steep yourself in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Don't be afraid of missing out. That's for all the youngest in the congregation like me, who spend their whole life feel like they're missing out. Don't be afraid of missing out. When you make your treasure God, you don't have to worry about having enough. And then because Jesus is Jesus, it's such an enigma, he doesn't stop, but he messes with us. So go ahead, Jesus, mess with us. Verse 33. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. God's kingdom is so much more than food and clothing. They pale in comparison to the treasure that is found in seeking God, in participating with the Holy Spirit. Don't you love our mission as a church? We desire to be an undeniable force of God's hope, healing, and grace, impacting generations to come. Now that is something worth giving our lives to. The X that marks the spot is not a lifestyle, not buildings or riches or fancy food or clothes or cars or retirement funds or financial security. The X that marks the spot of where to find treasure is found in Jesus, the man that the crowds were coming to see, the man who in one breath condemns a man for being greedy and then offers him the treasure of heaven instead, the man who puzzled even his own disciples with the sacrificial way in which he lived, even to the point of laying down his life. It's through Jesus that the treasures of heaven are made available to us. He is our treasure. And so, like the man in the beginning of the parable, we have some decisions to make. Thinking about all that we have in light of God's kingdom, where are our hearts? What is our treasure? Food or clothing or houses or cars or toys or furniture? And I know you might say, I've worked hard for everything that I have. Nobody has given me anything. But did you earn the breath that is in your lungs? Did you apply for the body that you have or the brain that you have? And did you teach yourself everything that you know? All that we have is from God, who created the land to produce the food that we eat and the clothes that we wear. And he enjoys giving to us. But when we make the gifts our treasure and not the giver, things go sideways. So Jesus frees us from the peril of possessions and enables us to care for others. So how do we respond to a message like this? Jesus kind of messes with us. How do we respond to something like this? I think it has to be an individual thing, right? But I think he wants our hearts to be free. He wants our hearts to be free. Sometimes we can do things that kind of liberate our hearts. Some of you have already discovered the joy of being generous. This is a very generous congregation, and that's part of why it's so much fun being your pastor. Thank you for that. But isn't there when you give something away, isn't it fun? Isn't it liberating? I think God, through his Spirit, works with us to keep our hearts free so that we can realize what's essential, what's important, what is lasting, and what's temporary and maybe not so important. And then to really live into that, what does it mean to live trusting our Father to provide for us? Fear not, little flock. The Father has chosen to give you the kingdom. If we could only grasp all that we have through Christ, I think it would change us in some beautiful ways. So we're going to respond. We do this every Sunday. We hear the Word of God, and then we take a few moments and ask God, how do I respond to what I've heard, this really challenging message? Jesus loves us enough to challenge us. He wants to break up our hard hearts and set us free? How will you respond to what you've heard this morning? Father, I am so grateful for all that you give to us in Jesus. It's not a static gift. It's an ongoing outpouring of love. Jesus, may we treasure you today. All the good things of God come to us through you. Help us to join you in fixing up this broken world. Give our lives real purpose. Show us what's essential and what's not essential. And set our hearts free to love and serve you. And maybe your Spirit has asked us to do something to keep our hearts free. And I pray that we might stay in step with your Spirit and listen as he leads us into life and more life. Thank you for the gift of your Son and for these moments we've had together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.